Anya walked back toward the camp. It was quieter now as more of the men moved to the burial mound to help with the excavation. With their timeline drastically reduced, they would have to move fast. But even still, Anya wanted to show Derek what she'd found.
Derek?
He was sitting on his improvised bed with his head in his hands. He looked up as she came in.
No. Hey.
You look like hell warmed over with a butane torch.
Thanks. I feel about the same way. Must have been that damn drink I had last night.
Sure it's not something else?
Like what?
You're not a bad guy, Derek. You just got stuck being the bad guy this time by your company. And I think you realized something else. That you're just another cog in the machine. You'll get used to it, just like everyone else.
You included. And it doesn't bother you?
Sure. It's weird for me. I'm not really used to working this way, but at the same time, I made the decision to take their money, so stuff like this comes with the territory.
I don't know how you're able to maintain such equanimity about this stuff.
I'm remarkably well-adjusted. Trust me, I'm anything but.
I read the file.
Of course you did. Now, are you going to get up, or are you just going to sit here and mope around for the rest of the day?
Well, when you put it like that...
Yes?
Is there any coffee?
Yeah, in the main lodge. And hurry up, too, because we found something interesting.
Yeah?
The burial mound has a shaft that descends at a 30-degree slope.
What's so special about that?
It keeps going.
Excuse me?
Just what I said. The shaft doesn't appear to stop. Even more interesting, there are branches off of the main shaft.
What, like other rooms to put the bodies into? That kind of thing?
I don't think it's that simple.
Why?
Because the branches seem to go for some distance as well. I've never seen anything like it before. It's weird. And yet there seems to be some sort of reason to it.
Derek pulled on his parka and they walked over to the main lodge.
What do you think it might be about?
I don't know. But I thought about that kimberlite pipe thing you talked to me about the other day. It occurred to me that this whole area might be almost honeycombed with the things. If we play our cards right, it's possible that you could simply descend into these pipes and do all the mining you need without having to drill all that much more.
That would save the company millions of dollars in time and effort.
At least. And it's possible. But I want you to see it before we make the phone call back to your company.
Great. Let me grab a cup of Joe and I'll head on over.
Anya watched him dump a large quantity of sugar into his coffee.
Damn, that's hot.
What time are you expecting the miners?
Oh, I don't know. Personally, I sort of hope they get lost and have to come back another time. As soon as they show up, the mood around here is going to go from bad to worse, and I'll be the bad guy again.
The Aractac will know it's not you.
Yeah, but they shoot the messenger around these parts. Not literally, of course, but I still feel like crap for having to do it.
Anya led Derek through the trees to the burial mound. She came through the final stretch and saw the wooden boxes being moved around carefully. Godwin and Nyaktuk were delicately placing bones into one of the boxes.
Three so far.
Any idea how many more might be down there?
Could be hundreds. The mound is huge and there would seem to be room for a lot more.
This is just the first branch off the shaft. We're going to need to string lights to get illumination down there. Things get dark pretty fast, and it's not all that open and airy.
We will bring the lights. We have a supply of them.
You got a generator with them, too?
Oh, yes.
Nyaktuk turned back to dig.
Over here, Derek.
They walked to where the radar unit was set up.
Wow, you aren't kidding.
You see? It goes down and keeps going. All we can see here is the maximum distance for the display screen. And that's reading at 1,000 meters right now.
Better than half a mile. What would it have taken to tunnel something like this out?
Well, that's just it. We don't know if it was tunneled out by the Aractac or if it's natural. If it's natural, that makes me think of the kimberlite pipes.
I can see why, but the pipes I'm used to seeing aren't anywhere near this large. We call them pipes, yeah, but they're usually much smaller in diameter than this. I mean, there's room in there for two people to stand side by side.
Yes.
Something like this occurring naturally? I don't know. Just doesn't seem possible.
And yet we have the actual thing right in front of us. Kind of hard to argue with the reality of it, huh?
Derek turned and watched Godwin bringing up another bundle of bones.
Yeah, all of this for the dead.
There's room enough in there for thousands of remains. But then the question becomes, what could have caused so many people to die so quickly?
I've got a bigger question for you. Is what killed them all still lingering? And if so, are we in danger too?
I don't like that question. I don't like it one single bit.
Anya stared at the entry to the burial mound for a long time. By the end of the first day, Nyaktuk and his men, working in concert with Anya and Godwin, had managed to transfer the remains of almost 36 separate bodies into wooden coffins and arranged for them to be transported to the new burial ground, closer to the permanent Araktak community. The cold wind swept in over the plain, cresting like a wave as it rushed the burial mound. Anya had spent the majority of the day shivering inside her parka, warmed only temporarily by the steady stream of coffee that flowed from the camp. Anya watched more of the wooden boxes emerge from the burial mound, borne up from the underground chambers by men with blistered hands and dirt-streaked faces. Even in the numbing cold, the men managed to work up a tremendous sweat. They paused as the sun started to dip closer to the ground. Nyaktuk emerged first from below. He looked weary.
We've had a good day.
There's still many of them down there. It may take us much longer than I thought.
More of his men filed out of the mound. They looked exhausted as well. Godwin came out last. He still wore that grim look of determination, as if the fact that night was approaching was a personal affront to his quest to show the Araktak how much he cared.
Time for some food. And you need to rest, all of you.
She looked directly at Godwin. He turned away. Nyaktuk and the other men walked back toward the camp. Godwin watched them go and then turned to Anya.
Am I being a fool?
I don't know. Are you?
I just want them to see me for who I am, not as the product of an ancient taboo. Something tells me they'll never change.
Well, you impressed me. Maybe that will count for something.
Godwin looked at her and grinned. In the fading light, he looked almost ghost-like with the dirt obscuring his features. Only his smile remained white against the falling darkness.
You look like the Cheshire Cat. Your face is a mess.
I need a shower.
Good luck finding one back at camp.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I wonder what the others will do to keep clean.
Nyaktuk and the rest of the men suddenly came back through the pines toward them. Nyaktuk nodded at Godwin.
You need to bathe.
So do you.
We intend to. There's a river a mile away. We'll go there and wash. Come with us.
The river will be frozen.
One of the men hefted a pickaxe.
We will chop our way through to the water. On the shore, we'll build a fire and warm ourselves after we wash. This is how it's done.
For a Araktak.
For anyone dirty from digging all day long.
Anya nudged Godwin forward.
Don't be a snob.
Godwin nodded and looked at Nyaktuk.
Thank you for the offer to join you.
Nyaktuk led the group of men through the clearing and off into another glen farther away. Anya watched them go for several minutes. She smiled and thought that perhaps the Araktak would eventually warm to Godwin, but he would have to continue to work hard to prove to them that he was worthy of their acknowledgement. Still, he'd done well today.
How'd we do today?
Anya started. Derek stood behind her, watching the men troop down the incline that led away from the burial mound.
We got a lot of remains out of the mound, but Nyaktuk tells me there are still many to go. And I can't really do my thing until the Araktak have finished with the transferring of the dead.
So, until they finish with the bodies, you're stuck here doing, well, what exactly?
Morale booster?
Okay, I won't touch that one.
Derek pointed at the ground radar unit.
That working well?
Seems to be.
Show me the display of the burial mound again.
Why?
I want to see it again.
Anya nodded and set some of the probes into the ground. The machine took a while to heat up in the cold of the coming night.
You ready?
Sure.
Anya pressed the button. Slowly, the display screen revealed the shaft going down at the peculiar angle into the burial mound. Derek leaned closer to the screen.
You weren't kidding about it going on, huh?
Nope.
I wonder how far it goes.
Like I said earlier, it's at least 1,000 meters. The display screen won't show anything more than that until we take the unit into the burial mound and ping it again.
Could we do that now?
Didn't you just hear me tell you that I can't go in there until they've finished moving the bodies?
Yes, I heard you.
I would assume the same thing applies to you, Derek.
No one's here. Let's just do it quickly and then we can get back out before they even know we were down there.
But you're suggesting we go against what they asked of us just to satisfy our curiosity. It has the potential to disrupt everything we're working toward here. You should know that. I would have thought a company guy like yourself wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I'm too damn curious for my own good sometimes. I tend to obsess over things in my life, especially things that spark my interest. When I was younger, it was the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, UFOs, that kind of thing.
A lot of kids are into that stuff.
Not like I was. I had this old storage file system made from heavy-duty cardboard. I kept detailed files and personal notes on my thoughts and ideas about all those strange things.
What'd your parents think about that?
My father always told me that I was obsessive. I think he knew that it would eventually stop when I started discovering women.
Was he right?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm sure the Loch Ness Monster is happy you turned out to be a diamond mine employee rather than a cryptozoologist, huh?
Probably so, yes.
Anya switched off the radar unit.
So we're not going into the burial mound. That's settled, right?
Yeah, fine. It's too dark and cold out here anyway.
Good. Weren't you expecting the imminent arrival of some miners today?
Yeah, they haven't arrived yet. I tried them on the radio, but got no response.
Is that normal?
Radio interference is nothing new up here. The landscape plays hell with radio signals.
But you got the text from the company via satellite yesterday, right?
Yes, but these guys have a standard CB in the truck they're in.
Mr. Wainman.
They both turned and saw Wishman standing there in the darkness. Anya frowned. He was awfully close to them. Anya hoped he hadn't heard Derek plotting to get into the burial mound.
Hello, Wishman.
There will be a truck arriving in the next few minutes. I assume these are the men your company has sent?
Well, I don't hear anything.
Nevertheless, they will arrive.
Wishman walked off into the darkness. Derek glanced at Anya.
Well, I guess we'd better go and see about welcoming them to their new home.
As Anya and Derek walked back through the trees, the truck came in over the snow, its headlights bouncing and waggling as it maneuvered down the bumpy path. Finally, the truck came to a stop, and six men climbed out. Derek strode over.
Which one of you is Hansen?
A bulky man, zipping up his coat, raised his hand.
Here?
Derek nodded and shook his hand.
Glad you guys arrived intact. I tried reaching you on the radio, but I got nothing back.
Damn thing's busted. Not good for anything except listening to static. Trust me, we're damn glad to see the lot of you here. We were getting worried about making it here in time to see where we were going. Any longer and they would have found us frozen solid somewhere out there.
Hungry?
Famished. We left this morning and haven't stopped but for gas.
I'm not sure where we're going to be able to put you. The conditions are a little rustic.
No matter. We can crash on the floor tonight and get a shelter of our own started tomorrow. As long as you've got a fire going with some coffee and food, we should be fine.
Good. I'm guessing you'll be in our lodge. Not sure the Arak-Tak will take too kindly to you being in their shelter.
Sort of a sticky situation here, then, is it?
We're on tenuous ground, perhaps. We have a done deal with these people, but they want time to move their deceased to another area. Headquarters has gone back on that deal somewhat by bringing you guys out well ahead of time. It hasn't gone over swimmingly with them.
Can't say I blame them. I'd be madder than hell if someone tried to change the rules on me midway through the game. Not to worry, Mr. Wayman. I'm sure once we get ourselves squared away, these Arak-Tak boys will see me and the boys are pretty much the same as them. We just got a job to do is all.
Hansen spit tobacco juice on the ground.
That's magnanimous of you.
Hansen turned as if seeing Anya for the first time.
And just what did you say your name was, miss?
I didn't.
Pardon me, then.
This is Anya Creed, Hansen. She's here to conduct a search for any relics that belong to the Arak-Tak people and help to relocate their burial ground.
Never heard of anyone relocating a burial ground. Of course, that don't mean all that much. People got different ideas on doing things every damn day, right?
Anya pointed at the sickly brown stain on the white snow.
You might want to watch out where you spit around here, it being sacred ground and all.
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry about that, Mr. Wayman. Won't happen again.
I appreciate that. We're in that lodge over there.
Derek pointed out the shelter amid the pines. Hansen turned back to the five other men and waved them on.
Okay, fellas, let's get our gear inside and rest up. Where's the chow, Mr. Wayman?
Derek pointed to the main lodge.
That's where we have dinner, although it's still a bit early.
We can wait.
Anya watched them troop off toward the shelter.
Our place isn't exactly big enough for that bunch of brutes.
Brutes?
Well, they are big guys.
They're miners, different breed of men.
They're like modern-day dwarves, except for the fact that those guys are pretty big.
I think they'd like the analogy.
Nyaktuk led a small group hurrying along the trail. Anya spotted a litter and stepped forward.
Your man got trapped partly under the ice. His foot got wrapped in a vine of some sort. We had to work to free him, but he's in trouble. He's too cold.
They carried the litter past them, and Anya could see Godwin's bluish face in the dim light. Piles of clothes had been placed atop him while the other Araktak men walked behind and beside the litter, almost nude. Nyaktuk directed them into the main lodge. Anya and Derek rushed to follow. Inside, the fire blazed, and a wall of heat hit them upon entering. Wishman sat close by, stoking the fire to greater heights and intensity than it had been during the feast. Anya shook her head, wondering how Wishman managed to be in so many places at almost the same time. They'd only seen him out in the woods a few minutes earlier, and yet here he was, back at the fire in the main lodge, adding fuel and seemingly completely unconcerned with anything. As soon as he saw Godwin's face, however, he moved quickly. He bent closer to Godwin and listened to his scattered breaths. He looked at Nyaktuk and motioned for the other men to turn Godwin on his side.
He has too much water in him.
The men turned Godwin over, and Nyaktuk pelted Godwin's back with his hard fists near the shoulder blades. Finally, he vomited a lot of water that splayed across the dirt floor of the lodge before being absorbed by the soil.
Good. Turn him on his back once more.
This time, Wishman listened a second or two longer to Godwin's breathing.
The water is gone. The cold remains. He must be warmed by the spirits.
They moved Godwin closer to the fire, and for the first time, Anya noticed a small bed of dense pine boughs on the floor. Godwin's body was lowered gently onto the boughs. Then the men piled their clothes on him again and waited. Wishman took up a slender wooden pole and sprinkled the air with bits of some powder and then herbs into the blazing hearth. A delicate scent wafted into the room. The perfume of herbs made Anya's eyelids droop. The fire blazed harder now, despite the fact that no one had added any fuel to it or even stoked it. The flames seemed to reach out of the hearth itself toward Godwin's prone figure. They licked toward the pine boughs and then, for just an instant, seemed to touch Godwin's body itself. Briefly, Anya could swear that the fire turned a different shade of yellow, but then she blinked, and everything seemed to be back to normal. Godwin's eyes fluttered. Anya glanced at Derek, but he only shrugged, seemingly as confused as she was by the entire chain of events. Nyaktuk held a bottle of something to Godwin's lips.
Drink this.
Your friend will be fine now, friend of Bear. Have no more worry about this. Tomorrow, he will be in good health again.
Thank you very much.
Godwin raised himself up on his elbows.
Sorry for the trouble.
Derek waved his hand. Godwin reached out to Nyaktuk.
Thank you. All of you. For what you've done for me.
Nyaktuk nodded solemnly. And then, remembering that he and his men were without their clothes, scrambled to get some on.
Nothing I haven't seen before, guys, really.
But they continued to dress, and even Godwin managed to find the strength to do so quickly. The door to the lodge opened as they were pulling on their pants. Hansen and his crew strode in and stopped short.
What in the hell?
Hypothermia treatment, that's all, Hansen.
Just a bit weird opening the door and seeing what looked like an ass party happening, you know?
Ass party?
Nothing but ass, Miss Creed.
Oh, thanks for clarifying that.
You bet.
Wishman, These are the men from the company that I told you would be coming out here today. They will stay the night in our shelter and then tomorrow build one for themselves.
However, we'd be most thankful if we could partake in some food with you all. We haven't had a bite all day and we're starved.
Wishman's frown finally eased some and he nodded.
Very well. We will eat together and try to make sense of this situation as it has become. We do not wish to upset the company with whom we have bargained. But neither do we wish to see our ancestors defiled because we were not given time to relocate them.
Mr. Wishman, if we do our job right, you won't even know we're here.
Very well. Come and join us and eat with us.
Anya moved to Godwin's side as he finished buttoning his shirt.
Are you really all right now?
I think so. Damned weird thing it was, though. Especially when they got me back here.
Was that all some sort of big show for our benefit?
Didn't seem to be. And the fact is, Godwin's alive now as a result of something.
Yeah, but what? Not magic, was it?
I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical about that kind of thing. But I have seen a lot of unexplained stuff in my travels.
How's that one rank?
Right near the top.
Contrary to the discomfort Anya expected, the miners embraced the game-filled diet, eating their fill while simultaneously listening as the Araktak warriors regaled them with stories of great hunts, elusive prey, and a great narwhal that had become for them, at least for a time, a kind of Moby Dick. The miners, in turn, told the Araktak fantastic stories of their adventures deep in the earth, spinning tales of passages suddenly collapsing, the rush for fresh air, the panic that ensued, and the darkness. Always, it came back to the darkness. In the end, Hansen had produced several bottles of Canadian whiskey and passed them around. They had all imbibed the liquid fire, and Anya herself had felt the shivers of the terror that had been sneaking into her own mind, felled by the strong drink.
To them who walk forever under us.
Anya glanced at Derek, who had chosen not to drink the whiskey, and shot him a look. He only shrugged. The miners and the Araktak men stayed up late. Godwin and Anya found themselves increasingly cut out of the bond that was forming between the hardened Inuit warriors and the oversized dwarves of Deep Earth. Anya helped Godwin back to the shelter and got him into his bed. He still shivered occasionally, and as Anya tucked the blankets in around him, he grabbed her hand.
I thought I was gone.
You almost were. They saved you.
I wonder if that means they'll accept me.
I have no idea. But I wouldn't rush right out and try to die again. They might pick up on your scheme. Get some rest. We've still got a lot of work to get through tomorrow, and knowing them, they'll expect you at peak condition for it.
Thanks.
Anya crawled to her own bed, noting that Derek was already sleeping on his side.
What made him so tired?
But the whiskey had dulled her own senses, and as Anya pulled the bedding around her, she lengthened her breathing, allowed her eyes to roll back slightly in her head, and soon enough was fast asleep. Something sparked inside the dream state Anya resided in, jabbing her almost fully awake immediately. But Anya had long ago learned not to sit bolt upright with open eyes. Instead, she stayed perfectly still, keeping her breathing rhythm exactly the same as it had been.
Am I in trouble?
She opened her eyes slowly, accepting the limitations in the almost total darkness of the shelter and the night. A sudden brief blast of cold wind stole into the shelter and then vanished. Around her, the bodies of the miners shifted in subconscious response, but then returned to normal, except for Anya.
Someone opened the door. Coming in or going out?
She couldn't fathom walking around outside in the middle of the night, not in this cold. It was almost suicidal. And she'd been in the woods enough to know that at night, it was very easy to wander in the wrong direction, lose your way, and end up lost, and dying from exposure. She turned over onto her side and scanned the room as much as she could.
She counted several distinct breathing patterns emanating from the floor. 6 of them, to be exact. So the miners were all accounted for. Godwin rested in his bed, snoring slightly. She almost smirked. There was no way he'd be going anywhere tonight. He was lucky just to be alive. Anya turned over onto her left side and looked at Derek's bed. She saw the rumple of blankets and his sleeping bag, but the zipper was open and the bed was empty. Derek was gone.
What's he up to? Where'd he...
Earlier this evening, he'd wanted to go into the burial mound and use the ground radar to see farther into the shaft. If Wishman caught him doing that, the whole agreement could be jeopardized. Wishman didn't look the type to take lightly stupid moves such as the one Derek might be making right now. Anya unzipped her own sleeping bag slowly, trying her best to keep the noise at a minimum. She detected no real change in the breathing patterns of the miners. Probably they were being helped to sleep by the whiskey they'd drunk and their full bellies. Anya slid out of the bed, carefully picking her way through the maze of arms, legs, and bellies. She put her coat on, and then right by the door, she pulled her boots on as well. Anya squatted outside the door and scanned the darkness. She detected no movement or anything else that would betray the presence of someone out in the night. She tied her boots, zipped up her coat, then put her hat and gloves on. The icy air cut at her face. She felt her sinuses open and then snap shut. She sniffed quietly, and the air in front of her clouded as she exhaled. A brief sickle of moon hung suspended against the black backdrop of sky, shedding just a little illumination across the area.
What do I do now?
She could wake Wishman and explain things to him and hope he'd understand. But in doing so, she would no doubt wake the rest of the Arak-Tak men, and they would be highly annoyed that Derek had gone where he was not supposed to go. Or she could simply try to get to Derek first and convince him that his idea was a really bad one. She frowned. She moved off through the snow, using the already trampled tracks to help muffle the sound of her steps. Fortunately, no new snow had fallen this night, meaning she would not crumple the ice crystals beneath her boots. She paused at the edge of the trees and looked back at the camp. Nothing stirred. Anya took a final look and then pushed through the pines toward the burial mound. She came through the trees and saw the burial mound silhouetted against the night sky. She paused and took in the entire scene. A friend of hers who had served in the British Special Forces had once told her that tuning into a new environment sometimes meant just sitting still for 20 minutes and letting your subconscious catalog everything around you. Anya moved closer to the opening of the burial mound. She could see the twinkle of something inside. Derek had turned on the lights that the Arak-Tak men had strung up to help them underground.
What is he looking for?
Anya slid closer to the burial mound opening, where she could see a slight bluish glow. Derek was definitely down inside the shaft. Anya looked up and around. The ground radar unit was missing. One glance at the ground confirmed that it had been dragged down into the shaft. Anya shook her head. Curiosity was going to get them into serious trouble with the Arak-Tak tribe.
Oh, the idiot!
Anya took a step into the shaft and paused, unsure of whether she should go down. It was bad enough that Derek was already inside. Wishman, if he found out, would be insulted and outraged. She had some degree of status within the tribe as friend of Bear. She wondered if it was worth risking that to make sure Derek didn't blow this entire operation.
How would the Arak-Tak feel about a woman, even friend of Bear, going into the burial mound without their permission?
Anya shook her head. It was either she go in and stop Derek, or stay up here and call him out. If she did that, she would probably wake up the Arak-Tak. And Anya was growing very cold, standing out in the night air.
All right, then. Time to get him back.
Anya took a step into the shaft of the burial mound. Somehow, Anya managed to keep from screaming out in surprise as she slid down the slick tunnel. She came to rest by bumping into the squat yellow box containing the ground radar unit
and then looked up to see Derek staring down at her.
You following me?
Oh.
Anya got to her feet.
Yeah. I didn't expect this to be so slippery.
It is frozen, after all. You should have been more careful when you came down here.
I wasn't intending to come down quite like that. Most times, I'm content to walk.
Derek turned back to the shaft, as if studying something. Anya glanced back up toward the surface.
Derek, we shouldn't be down here. There's no telling what Wishman will do if he finds out we came into the burial mound before all of the bodies have been relocated.
So? He doesn't have to find out, does he?
That's not the point. It's a matter of respect.
I'm trying to get the radar set up so I can see how deep the shaft goes.
Why are you so obsessed about this?
There's that word again.
All right, sorry about that. But what's your hurry? There won't be time for this when Nyaktuk and his men are done with the remains.
Derek glanced around at the numerous branches going off from the main shaft.
You mean the bunches of bones? The bobs?
You're being disrespectful to the culture and also to your promise to them. It's bad enough that they've been given less time.
Look, you can go right back to bed if you want. There's no need for you to share in the heinous crime that I'm supposedly committing here. If Wishman finds out, the blame will be all mine.
And what if he does find out? What then?
Then I'll deal with it.
I don't get it, Derek. A day ago you were so concerned about letting the Arak'tak down, and now you're standing here flagrantly ignoring their request to stay out of here until they were finished.
Derek continued positioning the radar unit and managed to set the second probe some distance down the shaft.
I can't be a party to this. I'm gonna get Wishman. I don't want this destroying everything we're supposedly working for.
Derek prepared a hole and pushed another probe into the ground.
Huh. You won't go.
Excuse me?
You won't leave. Despite all your protestations to the contrary, you want to know how far that shaft goes as much as I do. Well, here we are, almost ready to fire up the unit and see what the truth is. All you've got to do is choose to stay.
You underestimate me.
Derek watched her for a moment and then shrugged.
In that case, go do what you have to.
Derek fiddled with the machine and then got the final probe ready. He scampered farther down the shaft to another fixed point and then drilled a hole and pushed the probe deep into the frozen ground. He looked back up at her.
Haven't you left yet?
Shut up.
You see? It's got you too, hasn't it?
What?
Derek stood up and spread his arms.
This place, the tunnel, it's almost a living thing. This shaft and the wind that passes over us even now, it's like something is breathing through this tube. We're on the road to its heart. The beating heart, at which lies an untold vein of diamonds and other precious minerals.
It's nothing but a mound of earth turned into something sacred by the people who used it.
And just what do you think they did to make it holy ground?
I have no idea. They probably consecrated it somehow and that was it.
Do you think that Wishman has magic abilities? That he could commune with the spirit world and turn this place into something living?
Like what he did earlier with Godwin? It was impressive as hell. But I'm still not sure if I'd call it magic.
Then what would you call it?
I don't know. But it could be explained in any number of more rational ways.
Your own sword. Isn't that proof enough of magic for you? Or do you cling to some silly notion that there's a scientific principle at work there?
I'm not sure what to make of that.
You're being ridiculous.
He turned and flipped the switch on the radar.
There.
You shouldn't have done that.
Now that's interesting.
What is?
Curiosity getting the better of you, Anya? Is that drive sparking up in you, that push for answers? You know you want to find out how far this thing goes.
Show me. Show me the screen.
Come closer, then. I've got the unit perched on a small rise in the ground here, and if I move it, I'll disrupt the picture.
Anya looked back up the shaft toward the surface. As far as she could tell, nothing stirred up top. There'd be no harm in just taking a look. She could take a look, and then get Derek to switch the unit off and haul it back out. And in the morning, no one would be the wiser. She hoped.
Anya, come on.
I'll take one quick look, and then we get this place back to looking like we haven't been here, okay?
Fair enough. You have my word.
Like that's good for much.
Derek touched his hand to his chest.
Oh, I'm cut to the quick.
Derek came over and squatted next to him.
Shut up. I'll deal with you another time. Now show me.
Derek pointed at the screen, and Anya frowned. She could clearly see that the shaft continued on, but the angle of slope increased dramatically after another several hundred yards.
Looks like an elbow, doesn't it?
But what in the world is that?
She pointed at the screen, and Derek followed her gaze. He peered closer. Just before the point where the shaft turned into a steep angle of descent, a horizontal line barred the passage.
I don't know, but it looks almost like a door.
What in the world would a door be doing down here?
Wasn't there one over the burial mound leading down here?
Well, yeah, but it also doesn't explain the sudden increase in slope just beyond the door. To look at the display, the shaft goes almost vertical.
I'd like to get a look at that door. Do you think we have time?
The damage was already done. Her curiosity had gotten the better of her. The idea that the sword was controlling her came into her head, and she frowned.
Oh, all right. We might as well see what's behind the door.
Excellent. I'll rig the lights to extend farther down the shaft.
Anya watched him move away from the radar unit. She studied the screen. The shaft seemed to resemble a missile silo farther on.
How far does it go down? Does it ever stop?
One thing seemed certain. Derek's mining company might have bought itself a huge trough of diamonds.
Let's go.
Anya glanced up and then switched off the radar unit. She moved down the shaft, careful of her footing. The ground farther on was dry, and she felt a bit more confident, even though it still sloped down.
Do you see it?
Anya did. The door looked as though it had been made from some type of dense wood, but she couldn't identify it. It stood about 8 feet high and wide. Cross pieces braced it into position.
That doesn't look like a door. It looks like a wall.
Why would anyone put up a wall here? Why would they close off the shaft from the outside world?
Derek walked closer to the door and ran his hands over the rough-hewn wood.
It feels almost warm.
Anya moved closer, and she could feel the heat emanating from it.
I suppose that makes sense, depending on how far into the earth it goes. We could be talking about some kind of thermal updraft.
Straight to the core. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is cursed!
They spun around and saw Wishman standing there in the dim light of the shaft. He did not look happy. Anya started to speak, but Wishman held up his hand.
Do not try to make excuses. I had hoped to avoid this, but such is the curiosity of man.
Avoid what?
Wishman gestured to the giant wall of wood.
That. The secret that my people have kept for many years.
What is it? It doesn't seem to be a door.
Well, that depends on who you ask. Some people would see it as a wall to keep something back, but others would see it as an exit for what lies beyond.
What lies beyond?
The secret of this land.
Derek moved away from the wall.
What is the secret?
Perhaps this is partly my fault. I know well that when you forbid a child from doing something, they want nothing more than to run right out and do that very thing. So it was that I watched you from the woods this night. The spirits told me this would be the time you chose to seek your answers.
But you didn't stop us.
Until now.
Wishman leaned against the wall of the shaft.
What good does it do to stop the curious? Sooner or later, they will seek their answers. And then they will have them, one way or another.
Are you all right?
Anya started forward to help him, but Wishman raised his hand again.
I am all right. Probably the time I spent waiting in the cold, seeing if you would discover what you have.
How long would you have waited?
I heard your talk of going back to sleep. I prayed you would do that, friend of Bear, but then you gave in. And then I knew that as soon as your radar showed you what was down there, you would need to investigate further. That was when I came down here.
Well, tell us about this curse or whatever this thing is.
Wishman beckoned to Derek.
Come away from that area, or your presence may draw it closer to us. Probably even now it senses our flesh and would like nothing better than to do away with that wall once and for all.
It?
The creature that lives Beyond the wall.
What creature?
A terrible thing. In my youth, we hunted it mercilessly. But still, it eluded us until we found this burrow. We guarded it with armed warriors, poking our spears into the entrance to keep it at bay. The shaft of the tunnel was far too narrow for it to escape and engage us in the open. We summoned a shaman from a faraway village to come and use all of his magic to set the thing back deep within the shaft so we could imprison it within. For 5 long days while we kept it inside, the shaman stood here in a trance, and he chanted his most powerful magics, using a variety of spells to drive the creature back. It howled as we drove it back further into the shaft. Its pain was evident, but we had seen too many of our people taken by the creature. Never would we find any trace of them, save for a scrap of clothing. They were dragged down here and consumed whole.
But what is it? Some kind of animal?
At one time. Now it is probably more an angry spirit than anything else. It has been locked here for years. Imagine our horror when we found that it had made a burrow out of our burial mound. It lived in our most sacred place.
So what happened?
The shaman forced the creature back further and further, until it slunk down the deepest part of the shaft. Then he made us construct the wall you see there. And when we had finished its construction, he ordered us back to the surface. He alone stayed down here in the shaft. And then he called out his magics again, using them to mystically seal the creature behind the wooden wall. No amount of strength would ever free it from its captivity. As long as the wall remained in place, the creature would never again bother the Araktak people. Or anyone else, for that matter.
But now...
So, you do see the problem after all, friend of Bear. And perhaps you are not as reckless as this one here.
I'm sorry for going against your word, Wishman. But this land doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the company.
And what would you have the company do with the awful truth of what lies beyond that wall?
I don't know what lies beyond the wall. And the men I work for are not used to dealing with legendary monsters. They're used to making money.
And that would be their downfall. For to disregard what I have told you is far more dangerous than believing it.
Surely no creature could survive being locked behind that wall. Do you truly think there's still a danger?
Not a danger of the flesh, but of the spirit. Such a creature as this would never go off quietly to the afterlife. It would seek vengeance on those who imprisoned it all those years ago.
On you?
I am the last of the original group who hunted the creature. It is why I have become the shaman of the Araktak. I needed to learn the skills of the shaman we originally summoned, if I had any hope of dealing with this being.
Look, I don't mean to be a real jerk here, but frankly, I'm not sure I buy all of this.
Anya glanced at Derek.
I mean, Wishman, if you're trying to renegotiate the deal, then perhaps this stuff is better saved for the company's lawyers. Fact of the matter is, you were only too happy to sell us this land when we sent Godwin here originally.
That decision was made by the younger members of my tribe, who have no knowledge of this creature. They want the modern life that plagues the rest of the world. Only a few of us know of the horror that lies beyond.
Nyaktuk. He knows.
Indeed. He has been my apprentice for many years. He has already become skilled at certain magic.
All this talk of magic. I don't know if I can buy into it.
Hold on. Only a few minutes ago, you told me about your obsession with things like this. And now, when Wishman tells you that something otherworldly lies beyond that wall, you decide it's time to be clinically detached?
Your magic is different than the tall tales that this guy is weaving. I think it's just an elaborate shakedown.
Wishman looked at Anya.
I thought I recognized something about you when you came into camp. A presence about you.
I'd rather we kept the talk centered around the wall and what we're going to do about it.
You believe, then?
I don't know what to believe. I've seen a lot of crazy things in my time, and I've dealt with some unusual animals as well. Right now, my main concern is making sure we don't open some kind of Pandora's box.
Wishman turned to Derek.
You would do well to listen to your friend. She has much wisdom, no doubt gained by hard experience.
I don't need to be told what to do or who to listen to.
Derek looked beyond them.
Did you bring it?
Right here.
Anya and Wishman turned. Hansen stood behind them. Anya glanced down and saw that he held something about the size of a book in his hands.
Hansen?
Evening.
What have you got there?
Just a little something Mr. Wayman asked us to bring up from Yellowknife.
Anya caught a whiff of something in the air. It smelled like marzipan.
Oh no, not that.
You are sharp. Should have known you'd know what it smelled like.
What does he have?
Explosives. Semtex by the smell of it. Check military grade if I'm not mistaken.
Derek reached to take the explosive away from Hansen.
Well, here's the deal. You can either walk your butts back up top, or you can stay down here and be inside when this thing goes. But one way or another, that wall is coming down.
Anya looked at Wishman.
I think he's serious.
Wishman kept staring at Derek and Hansen as they placed a ring of explosives around the wall at key points. The difference in Derek's attitude shocked Anya.
You've changed, Derek.
You're cute, Anya, but terribly naive.
Oh?
I think she'd love to know what you're talking about.
No doubt. Too bad she's not going to find out anything right now. We've got work to do.
We could kill them both right now and no one would know. It would just be one of those terrible accidents that happens in mining.
Derek looked as if he was considering it, a fact that made Anya's blood boil. She could summon the sword now and kill them both. Derek pointed at her.
Don't even try it, Anya. You make any gesture like you're going to pull that sword of yours out, and I'll hit the detonator and kill us all.
Anya stopped. She knew he would do it. At this point, the safest bet seemed to be to assume that whatever Derek had told her up to this point was nothing but a pack of lies. Hansen, however, eyed Anya carefully.
What sword?
Oh, you should see the little blade our girl there has. Quite the trick she can do, pull the thing out from nowhere and put it back again. That's what she used to dispatch Leon.
Who is Leon?
He was my friend, for one thing.
Leon was driving the truck that nearly ran us over.
That was a setup?
Of course.
But you were in the truck too. You could have been killed. It doesn't make any sense.
I was never in any real danger. And even if I was, death isn't something that I particularly fear.
I'll remember that when I run my sword through your worthless guts. And Godwin? Is he part of this charade as well?
Godwin has no idea what he has been a part of. And I think he's probably still sleeping off that near-death experience anyway, so why don't we just leave him be?
My men will kill you for your treachery.
Your men are all sound asleep and will be for some time. That little party we had last night saw to that.
You drugged them?
Yep. You left early, so I guess you managed to avoid any of the effects.
Derek fixed the detonation cord on the last package of explosive.
There. All set with that lot.
Looks good.
Now then, what to do with our Arak'tak shaman and the mystical swordswoman? Choices, choices.
What will be most interesting is what will happen to you when you open up that wall there. I have warned you of the consequences of your actions, and yet you choose to defy it. I will take great pleasure in seeing your re-education once that wall is destroyed.
Yes, you have indeed warned me, old man. But you should know that I have known of what lies beyond that wall for many years now. And long have I sought to find this place. Now, at last, we have the means to free the being from beyond. And when we do, we will be able to use it to further our own agenda.
The creature will never bend to your will. You aren't strong enough to force it to submit.
Hansen and I have the means to control it, and we will.
Fool! Let me go, and I will gladly flee from this place. I will walk the countryside and take my chances. And if that beast comes for me, I will meet it on my own 2 feet, rather than huddled in horror at the back of a cabin.
I love the way you speak. Reminds me of an old monster movie.
You, my son, shall be the first to die when the beast is freed from its cage.
Hansen looked at Wishman for another moment and then turned back to Derek.
Can't we just kill them?
No, we still need them for appearance's sake. And besides, I want to see the look on the shaman's face when we successfully control the creature.
Does this have anything to do with diamonds at all? Or is that just another one of your stories?
There are plenty of diamonds here. But their value is inconsequential to what we truly desire. The company will mine here, yes, but our focus has forever been on the release of the creature.
Why?
Because we answer to a different god.
You worship the Dark Gods.
Different names, but I guess you're in the ballpark.
And your god told you to free this being?
Our god is this being. And when it was imprisoned here, it reached out with its mind until it found a receptive consciousness that could understand it and learn from it.
Learn from it how?
Derek flipped up a switch on the detonator.
Our god taught us how to realize riches beyond our wildest dreams. When we could buy anything, including powerful members of government, we became better able to realize the goal of freeing our Dark Master.
And when we used Godwin as our unwitting cat's paw, all the Arak'tak saw was a half-breed they could despise. Their attention was so focused on him that they never sensed our approach until it was too late.
And here we stand, at the moment of greatness.
Shouldn't your corporate masters be here with you? Isn't this also their moment of greatness?
They're far too old now to be here. Hansen and I were chosen to lead this mission. And when we have freed our god, he will reward us all with immortality.
Empty promises. He will promise you whatever it is your heart most desires. But he will never give your rewards to you in the way you imagine them.
All right, enough of this. Let's get out of here and get this done. The sun will be up in an hour or so.
That will be the optimal time, according to what they told us back home.
Get them out of here.
Hansen pulled a gun out from under his jacket.
All right, you two. Let's go. And Anya, no tricks. I even see you move funny, and I'll put a bullet into your heart.
Fine.
Anya walked behind Wishman, her mind racing.
Is there really a creature behind the wall? Why do they need me in the first place?
Anya climbed the slope and soon felt the icy gust from outside on her face. Wishman kept quiet as he clambered out of the burial mound.
What if you're wrong, Derek? What if this is all wrong? What if Wishman is right? That your bargain with your god is just a sham? You could be spelling out your own doom and not even know it.
That is exactly what they are doing.
Shut up! Hansen, how long until the dawn breaks over the horizon?
Perhaps 40 minutes?
I'll make a fire then. No sense freezing to death while we wait.
A fruitless gesture, fool. You'll taste death sooner than you think, once that wall comes down.
Anya watched as Derek gathered a bundle of thick branches, long dehydrated by the pervasive winter winds, into a stout pile over a small bundle of tinder and kindling. He stooped and set a lick of flame to the smallest pieces, and then stood back as the fire ate at the dried wood. After a minute, a blaze illuminated the area, spreading only a moderate degree of warmth. Derek gestured to Anya and Wishman.
You're welcome to move closer to the fire, Anya, but don't do anything to make Hansen put a bullet in you. Any move and he won't hesitate to kill you.
I don't doubt it.
Anya moved closer to the fire. Wishman stayed back, however, seemingly unconcerned with the fact that the temperature hovered around minus 35 degrees.
You're not cold, old man?
I'll warm myself with the thought that your flesh will soon be cooked off of your body.
Suit yourself.
Hansen checked his watch, but kept the gun trained on Anya.
That's right. About a half hour left.
You brought it?
Of course. Not much point in doing this otherwise, is there?
Brought what? Come on, guys, what's the big secret? Afraid to tell me? Afraid I'll rain on your parade?
Nothing you can do will stop what's coming, Anya. If you can't stand the suspense, I could just put you out of your misery.
Like you'd kill me. You'd just have Hansen back there do it. You don't have the nerve.
Derek stepped closer to her, but kept the fire between them. In the firelight, the shadows leapt and twisted over his face, turning it into a nightmare vision.
Perhaps you believe that the sword grants you some sort of immunity from death?
Well, it didn't work out that well for the original owner, now did it?
Wishman moved up closer to the fire suddenly.
A little too cold for you back in the shadows, Wishman? Well, fine. Warm yourself by our fire. Enjoy these last moments.
Wishman stared at him, but Anya noticed that he didn't look especially cold.
What he says about this blade you carry, is it true?
Yes. I'm not sure why I was chosen to carry it, but I seem to have little to no choice in the matter.
You were chosen to carry it for the same reason that the polar bear did not maul you.
And that would be...
Isn't it obvious? You are a force of good in an otherwise evil world.
Yeah, well, I never applied for the job.
We cannot choose our destinies. They are chosen for us before we arrive on this earth. Here, we only walk the path before us, whatever it may be.
Wishman gestured to Derek and Hansen.
Even these terrible men have their roles to act out.
So you don't believe people can change? You think that what they are is what they will always be?
I believe that what they are is always within them.
But what if they could control those impulses and live a useful and productive life?
Wishman's smile deepened and showed the massive lines at the corners of his mouth.
Your mistake is that you see this battle as only taking place across this lifetime.
That's a mistake?
It is when there are many, many lifetimes yet to play out. This epic battle isn't contained to any one of them. I am growing old and weary of this fight in this body. Soon, it will be time to move along. In my younger years, I would never have fallen for the lies they told me. Never.
Say the word, and I'll be glad to splatter your brains all over the snow, old man.
You think death scares me, boy? Do you know how many times I have looked into the mouth of hell and lived to tell the tale?
Death is death, one way or another. You'll be done before the sun is up.
If only you knew how wrong that statement is. One death is never the same as another. And to think that death by bullet and death at the hands of the thing you wish to unleash are the same shows how ignorant you really are. If you understood, you would drop that weapon and leave this place. Now you can still act rationally. But once you die, you will not have the option to reject the darkness.
Anya could see that Derek was watching Wishman intently.
Are you hearing this, Derek?
Of course I am. It doesn't matter what he says. In about 15 minutes, we will do what we came here to do. And no amount of Inuit psychobabble is going to change that.
If they succeed, we are all dead. This place, this countryside, and eventually all the world will fall into the fires that burn in their heart of absolute evil.
That must be some science project you're getting ready to unleash, Derek.
Oh, it is.
You mind filling me in on it? What sort of monster are you letting loose?
What once was a monster of the flesh is no longer.
Meaning?
Meaning that the creature is no longer visible in this realm.
But it still exists?
Of course. It is difficult to explain to people who see things one-dimensionally.
Well, sorry.
No, old man. I wouldn't piss the little lady off if I was you. She'd be quite adept at kicking your ass.
A sudden wind whipped up around them, scattering a few of the smoking branches from the fire.
You see? The spirits of this place know what is about to unfold here. You anger them with your presence and your intentions.
Tough. They can stand in line if they want to condemn me for what I'm about to do.
The pines around them started to glow in the bitter light as the sun climbed toward the horizon. Anya could feel something else worming its way up from somewhere far down below them. She realized that as cold as it was, there was sweat beating up at her hairline. Her stomach knotted. Anya closed her eyes and checked for the presence of the sword. In her mind's eye, it hung there in the otherware, waiting. The problem was Hansen. If she reached for the sword, he had plenty of time to shoot her in the back.
It's time.
What about these two?
Give me the gun and I'll cover them while you finish the preparations.
You sure?
Of course. I'm not the explosives expert here. You are.
Derek walked over and took his place behind Anya, while Hansen went toward the opening of the burial mound and picked up the leads for the explosives and made sure they were attached to the detonator properly.
Why not just do a remote trigger?
We didn't want to risk the possibility of the wires freezing and disrupting the signal. Then, when you go in to check things out, the thing could go boom in your face.
Yeah, we sure wouldn't want anything to happen to you guys. That'd be terrible.
Derek poked her in the spine.
Watch your mouth, or I'll make you suffer.
I think I'm gonna do that to you as soon as I get out of here.
Who said anything about you leaving?
You haven't killed me yet.
That's only because we need a sacrificial first meal for what we're about to release. It's considered to be quite an honor.
By who? You and the rest of the Whack Job Society?
I should know better than to waste my breath on the likes of you.
So who goes first, me or Wishman?
I don't know. It's not up to us. Our god will decide who to eat first, and then the other will be taken in time.
Great.
Derek looked at Wishman, whose eyes were closed and whose lips were moving silently.
Time's up, old man. There's no help coming to you now. Your destiny is at hand.
Wishman's eyes opened. He glared at Derek.
So, you have made your final decision?
Yes. There was never any doubt in my mind as to what to do. We've been searching for this place for far too long.
Thank you, friend of Bear.
For what?
Keeping him distracted with that inane chatter.
Excuse me?
Derek pointed the gun at Wishman.
Perhaps my god will grant me the right to kill you here and now.
You aren't that stupid. Your god will only eat the living. Deny him that, and it will be worse for you than it already is.
Still so sure of yourself, aren't you?
I have been through life and death before, and I will be here long after this is over. The same, however, cannot be said of you, or your friend there.
Derek placed the gun barrel between Wishman's eyes.
Are you willing to wager your life on that?
Are you?
Look out!
As Anya spun to slash at Derek's gun hand, he jerked the pistol towards her. As the bullet grazed the back of her neck, Anya hit the ground, rolled, and came up again. Derek closed the distance. Derek worked a hand free and raked at her eyes. Kicked in the knee, Anya went down in the snow. From inside his jacket, Derek produced an assassin's knife like the one Godwin had taken from the thug back in Inuvik. But this one seemed bigger. Despite the pain in her knee, Anya stood to face Derek. He smiled at her. The blade in his hand was at least 12 inches long, and he must have had it concealed in a sheath that ran down his side.
Brought your knife to play? It's not gonna be much of a contest.
You think? You might be surprised. This is no ordinary knife.
Do tell.
Anya circled in the deep snow, trying to put the rising sun at her back. But Derek wasn't as big a fool as she'd thought, and he kept moving to the side as well.
This blade has been made more powerful by the spells and curses of a dozen high priests of the Amr Nal.
Name doesn't ring a bell. Should it?
They're from a land before our time. This blade is far older and more powerful than anything that has ever touched this earth since.
You know, all this talk of spells and curses and other mumbo-jumbo is getting really tiresome.
Then we should join in battle and be done with it. I have my god to awaken.
I have you to stop.
You can't stop the inevitable.
I've heard that before.
Have you?
For the briefest moment, Derek glanced away.
Do it.
A cloud of dust and smoke shot out of the mouth of the burial mound. Hansen stood close by with his hands on the detonator and a pleased expression on his face. Wishman was on his knees, eyes cast skyward in deep prayer. Anya glanced back at Derek, who wore the same wicked smile as Hansen.
It's done. The wall is now open.